is somewhere neglected. There has been an apathy and people are scared because of several reasons. Uska ek hawa bana ke rakha hua hai. Wahan pe jaane se ye ho sakta hai, wo ho sakta hai.
If people are able to view this podcast and view your personal point of view on this, even if they don't connect with you personally, they are able to connect with you on a more spiritual level watching this episode of ours.
Bas main startup bana raha hu, main problem solve kar raha hu. Maine kisi ka bura nahi chahe.
My people are very important to me and my people are gonna get they're right. We are not here to, you know, mess about with anybody's hard work.
I'm born poor. It is not my fault. But if I die poor, that is completely my fault.
Very, very controversial opinion, Jaideep.
We are completely bootstrapped. Investor ke paas jaate the, to investor used to say, "Arey, bhago yahan se. Your sector is dead."
We reach Canada before we reach eastern part of India.
We are currently the largest homestay and small hotel player in the northeastern part of the country.
Jaideep, I want to put 2 million into you. How does that translate into on-ground value for you?
So, hi, I'm Jaideep. I'm the co-founder of Stay Rooms and Homes. We are currently the largest homestay and small hotel player in the northeastern part of the country. So I started this company in the year 2019 with my other co-founder, Rahul. And we got another co-founder in the year 2020, just after the first wave of the pandemic. So the reason why I started this company is that when I was working with a company called Stayzilla, which was the Indianized version of Airbnb, we onboarded a lot of homestays across India. Okay. I was looking after the Northeast and there were other colleagues, my seniors and team members. And we had onboarded quite a good number of properties in the Northeast, which was till that time was not being covered by the major OTAs. And we could see there's a big gap which is there in the market. Okay. Because the current companies, they were not physically visiting the properties. They were not trying to solve the problems. And there was a mismatch of expectations. So once, unfortunately, this company, Stayzilla, closed down in the year 2017, I started my entrepreneurial journey. My first venture was again a travel venture. It was a travel agency, which I ran for 2 years before I met Rahul, who I already knew for the last couple of years. And we both decided that there's a big challenge which is there in the market because he was working with OYO, who was looking after the Northeast. And we from Stayzilla, we could both see that there's a big area and a big market which is to be captured and no big player wants to be here because of the logistical issues. And the East is somewhere neglected compared to the other parts of the country. And we get any new product at the last. Now, thanks to e-commerce, we are exposed and we get the product almost in the next day or after a fortnight. But still, in terms of reach, we have still a lot of catching to do. And since we had worked in this part of India, we thought that we can utilize our experience, you can utilize our skills. And then we started with one property. Over a period of time, we have scaled it up. COVID, first wave, second wave, even the third wave, it had a very brutal effect. We were on the verge of shutdown. Okay. Had to sell off some assets. Okay. Had to let go of some people. They got better opportunities. We helped them in placement with other companies. After this wave ended, everybody had actually written off us, including our friends and family members, that it is not going to work. You should again start searching for a job and you should do something. But somewhere we kept our cool, me, Rahul and Chiranjeev, and we got opportunity to onboard new properties. Some of the clients who had stayed with us prior to COVID, they trusted us again. And it kept on increasing from the verge of death of shutting down our startup, because during COVID, there were many companies which had shut down. Okay. Because of the lack of capital or the dissolution of the entire market. But somewhere we were strong enough. We thought that we are, like, I'm 38. So we thought that now is not the time for experimentation. Already a couple of years had been put in. We had not done a lot of work. We thought that now is the time we shouldn't. Because that time I read a very interesting snippet by the late Rakesh Jhunjhunwala. Like, today nobody is looking at travel and hospitality. 2 saal baad na, the people who are holding the stock, they are not going to sell. This is one industry which is going to boom like anything, because the people, they're locked in their houses. They will be going crazy. And exactly those words have come true. And now the kind of growth projections that we see, the trajectory we see from one property, just post-COVID, once we restarted, we were down to one property. Now we have 18 properties across 100, with 160 rooms inventory. We are looking to scale up another 10, 12 properties. Talks are more or less finalized. We have been positive even the COVID year. We were EBITDA positive. A very, very nominal profit. Okay, we are completely bootstrapped with some contribution from friends and family. And last 3 years, we have been profitable. Now we are in a position to ask. So earlier, investor ke paas jaate the, to investor used to say, "Arey, bhago yahan se. Your sector is dead. Tumko paise nahi denge." Okay. There is EdTech and so many other sectors, wonderful products being built by the founders. Somewhere we couldn't make the cut. Okay. So now, as we have figures on our side, although the figures are very small, we are still a very small company with a very small team. But now people are actually noticing us. Our customers are our biggest advocates, and along with the property owners with whom we have been very pertinent with the payments. Even though we had to let go of few things, we have tried to pay everyone. Yes, there are people, there are vendors who supported us by understanding that we are not in a position to pay them. But as and when it has been possible, we have paid every dime back. And that has been a company-wise decision that how much problem we are in, we are going to pay back every dime we owe to any vendor or any employee.
I love it. I love the sustainability aspect of it that you have. I love that my people are very important to me and my people are going to get their right. We are not here to, you know, mess about with anybody's hard work. You know, I love that aspect of it and I love that chain of thought.
Thank you. Thank you.
Travel, I think, is directly affected sector of COVID. The most directly, I would say. Because when you're packed in a house, you're not going to a hotel. When you're packed in a house, you're not going to go to a different city. X, Y, Z, I can add too many things to this, right? I want your experience here. What was COVID like? How did you feel? How did you overcome? How did you get the ability to sustain that for 2 years? It must have been very harsh.
So the thing is, COVID was really hard. I came to understand, I had heard what depression looks like. Having gone through it, me, my spouse, my near and dear ones, I could see who are from same sector or who lost their jobs or livelihood overnight. I've seen from very close quarter, being sad, but you need to stay happy. Like in the movie Joker, we have seen that you can be very sad, but you have to keep always a smiling face. Which was made by his father. In the movie Dark Knight, he said that it was like this. So being from the travel and hospitality, we always need to be smiling, always in front of the customers, in front of the employees and all. Somewhere they saw hope. Somewhere we were losing hope in ourselves. But somewhere, maybe I had to come to this day. Maybe I was supposed to do this podcast and share this. That is the reason why I have been able to sustain myself, because I practice Buddhism. So my mentor says that those who have suffered the most deserve to be the happiest. And when Gautam Buddha was there, there was a ceremony in the air where the people, they took a vow, the disciples, they took a vow that we are going to uphold this law in the latter day of the world, when there is a lot of problems, people are losing hope, and we are going to show that how one can change their karma, how one can change their condition. So maybe me and a lot of people like me have been chosen to showcase that we can still fight till you reach your destination. The fight is not over. There are people I know who lost their lives in COVID, like voluntarily ended their lives, due to the pressure, due to the debt and all. Somewhere I also had a thought once upon a time, I'll not shy from telling that. Maybe this can be edited in the final draft which is going. But I thought that if I'm not there, will it make any difference to anyone? It is not. So again, I went back to a book that if I'm born poor, It is not my fault. But if I die poor, that is completely my fault. I had read it somewhere in WhatsApp or somewhere. So I thought that first, main startup bana raha hu, main problem solve kar raha hu. Maine kisi ka bura nahi chahe. I want the best for myself and I want the best for others. So I'm going to create value in my life and the lives of others. Okay. जब तक जिंदगी में जब तक जिंदा हूँ आई डू समथिंग. अभी ये फिल्मी डायलॉग हो सकता है बट कीप वॉकिंग जॉनी वॉकर वन ऑफ माई फेवरेट ब्रांड्स. कीप वॉकिंग टिल द टाइम यू डोंट फॉल डाउन एंड इवन इफ यू फॉल डाउन गेट अप कीप वॉकिंग.
जयदीप आई लव हाउ स्ट्रेट फ्रॉम द हार्ट यू आर. I love how raw and how open you are. It's so lovely to hear this perspective. It's so lovely to hear you talking about it so openly. When it comes to death, you know, there is a whole very different way of looking at it. Everyone has their own way of looking at it. I was reading something the other day where it said that, you know, no matter who you are, you may be, you know, the richest person in the world, you may be someone who's living on the street. A maximum of 2 or 3 generations are going to remember who you are. No matter who you are. So I think when I read that, for me, this whole perception of death changed completely. Suddenly that whole, you know, thought behind it and everything changed. How has it been for you when you say that I realized, is it going to make a difference to anybody? What was that realization for you?
So what I thought that if tomorrow I'm not there, things are going to be definitely different for my family. Some of my friends and near ones may miss me, but for a very small and brief period. After that, everything is going to remain normal. People are going to eat, people are going to breathe, people are going to do their household chores because you have to live, okay? You cannot keep on pondering over one thing again and again. You need to run your body. The day you stop it, you're dead. Not physically, but mentally you're dead. I thought, why not do something good? There are a lot of people I am not able to reach out who... Maybe if I had the means, I would have liked to help. Like during COVID, I was volunteering with the distribution of grains and other essentials. I didn't have much money. Whatever I had, I contributed that. But I got in touch with some NGOs. Then I was helping the police officials, the health officials. Okay. I had my car. The petrol was being provided by my wife, thankfully, because she was working. And... I had some savings and it was that. I thought that and maybe I am not happy, but maybe try and bring happiness in someone's life. It gave me a lot of happiness from within. And fortunately, during the second wave, my company could operate for a very short period, a COVID care center with not for the critical patients. And it received accolades from different government agencies, even the CM's office as well. We didn't earn a single dime. It was not for commercial purpose. It was a way that if I can do something for the society, because when I was in class 11, I had economics was there in my subject. I was an art student. So it was there, like if you are starting a business, it also has a social responsibility apart from creating wealth for the owner. And wealth, it needs to create jobs, it needs to pay taxes to the government. It has a social responsibility. So since my business was shut, it was sales zero. I didn't have anything to earn. But I had my knowledge, I had my expertise, which I could share along with the help of my colleagues who came voluntarily and who tried to support it.
So,
somewhere something was pushing me inside. I got very good support from my spouse, my mother, my rest of the family members. And now I'm sharing this with both of you, Akhil and Vishay.
Jaideep, it takes a lot to share your heart out on a public platform. It's giving me goosebumps. I feel Vishwa is feeling the same way. That even we never pictured ourselves to be running a podcast that would mean so much to somebody. And we are very thankful to you for being able to share so openly with us. And hopefully we can give you an outlet for it. I want to discuss this a little further. I want to discuss the aspect of Northeast. You talk about Northeast as if it is neglected. You talk about Northeast as if it gets the last share of the pie. Why is that so? And is that a major reason why you stick to Northeast and not go out in other tourist locations?
Just one more thing I'd like to add to this. I think public platform comes second. Jaideep and I have had a 5-minute conversation in person, if that, and maybe a 10-15 minute conversation on, you know, when we were having our intro call. And Akhil, you are a stranger to Jaideep. I think having this conversation with two strangers for all intents and purposes. I mean, Jaideep, you, like, there is a, I don't even know how to put this into words. And I mean, given that we speak for a living, we should be able to do that better. But thank you so much for making us feel like, you know, that we have made a difference to you by not even doing anything else, but just by talking to you. So thank you for giving us that, I guess, what do I say, importance, that level of respect. I don't know the right word for it, but thank you so much.
No, the pleasure is mine, all mine. Why am I sharing is because sometimes we keep everything within ourselves. It is somewhere there in our subconscious mind. We don't talk. We try to look for distractions, maybe in our phone. Phone is everything for us. At least for me. My spouse says that I'm addicted to it, but my business, my whatever social life is left I have, it is there in the phone. And it becomes cumbersome for me to open the laptop and do something. So phone is actually a distraction to escape from the reality. I'm just sharing because if more and more people can share, we see a lot of people suffering from mental illness. Most of it is hidden. It is still a bad word that I'm depressed, I'm taking psychiatric drugs, or I'm doing XYZ. The day people start coming out with their problems, they are able to talk, it is better. And I think one thing which is lacking in today's world, which my mentor also says, is dialogue. We need to conduct dialogue. And if I feel that nobody is judging me, I can speak myself now. People maybe can judge me for a moment, 1 minute, 5 minutes, or an hour or so. But after that, they will forget. They have so many things to think about.
Who are people to judge anyone, man? Everyone has their own lives. I don't even get the point of this whole judging. And you're doing something incredible. You're helping people. You're helping people with their lives. And you're controlling their livelihood, even when there's a dire need, might be on your own livelihood, to sustain yourself. And yet you are prioritizing others over you. Like, I don't think there is anything to judge. If anyone is to judge, they should judge themselves. You know, like me and Vishud right now have a mirror in front of us, and we are feeling like, what are we doing when you can do something this incredible? And you can do something this incredible for a small bush of people, and then you can do something this incredible for a state, an area in India where you feel like this needs empowerment. We love enablers. You know, we are in love with the people who like to empower others. And that's a major, major reason why we started this in the first place. We wish to empower founders also.
Thank you. Thank you, Akhil and Vishwath. So talking about the Northeast, there has been a perception problem about Northeast. Number one is that there has been an apathy. The terrain has been not very friendly. And people are scared because of several reasons. I'm not going entirely into the reasons. So, uska ek hawa bana ke rakha hua hai. So, वहाँ पे जाने से ये हो सकता है वो हो सकता है ठीक है बट इट इज़ अ ब्यूटिफुल प्लेस पीपल आर वेरी क्लीन हार्टेड पीपल आर वेरी हेल्पफुल ओके यू गो आउट इन द मॉर्निंग पीपल आर गोइंग टू ग्रीट यू विद गुड मॉर्निंग बट यू सी इन कैलकटा पीपल इवन स्ट्रेंजर्स तो छोड़ दो नॉन पीपल को लोग हंस के ये नहीं करते आई हैव स्टेड देयर And I could see, in terms of, if I'm talking about the commercial part, rather than being a non-starter across India, first you need the funds, which we didn't have, unfortunately. Rather than being a no-starter, okay, it is better to be a leader or a major player in a small patch of area where your strength lies. I think our biggest strength is not only our concept, but it is our team. Because everybody is stationed out of the major metro cities.
Okay.
Because connectivity, it's a big market, everything is very good. But at the same time, it is fastly becoming saturated. So if we see the next wave of growth is going to come from the tier 2, tier 3, tier 4, tier 5 cities and the offbeat places. So just to give you a perspective, one of the first places to have 5G connectivity was the second biggest town of West Bengal, that is Siliguri. And one of the highest number of iPhones are sold in the Northeast, apart from the metros. That the reason why people are open to a lot of things, new concept, new fashion, and the some of the most beautiful homestays and properties you find in Northeast on Airbnb or any other platform. It is like marvelous. If you go to any other town, any other city, you will find the same set of things. But people nowadays are looking for new places. COVID was actually a blessing for us because people started exploring newer places. When there was an embargo in traveling outside, people started exploring the nearby places. So people from West Bengal, they explored the offbeat places of West Bengal. People from Assam, they explored, and vice versa. So if you are present in these places which are unheard of, and people had a lot of time during COVID, they were on Instagram and all. Once these places, these photographs, these videos started getting traction and influencers' numbers shot up, okay. So there was a new wave of people who wanted to visit these places. Khuli hawa mein saans lo, where there are less people to spread the infection, and people can have nutritious food, which can help them in recovering. So that actually enabled this, and cost-wise also it is efficient. Plus a very interesting part, Northeastern states are visited by a large number of foreigners. There are places in the Northeast which are not much frequented by the Indian population, but more by the foreigners. Because they see what flora and fauna is there in this part. I'll just give you an example. While I was in Stazila, there is a place called Majuli in Assam. You might have heard about it or you can Google it. It is the world's largest river delta. It is the place where this Vaishnav sect was born. The Vaishnav sect's birthplace is Majuli. So it is a almost 1.5-2 hours by ferry you need to travel from Jorhat to Majuli. Okay. And it has some amazing varieties of birds, butterflies and all. So I stayed there in a place which was a homestay built by a French couple. There were 5 rooms. I was the only Indian staying in those 5 rooms. Rest were all foreigners. So there are many examples like this. There's a property in the Northeast, which when I was visited in 2016, I was told this property is visited by the great actor Aamir Khan every year without saying. It is in Tejpur, okay. But people are not aware about it. We see Virat Kohli and all, they are all coming and exploring Northeast and our neighboring countries, Bhutan, because these are raw in nature. People don't recognize you. People treat you in the same way they will do a celebrity and vice versa. They do not do anything special. They are very pure.
I am from Haryana. And whenever there's a discussion of let's go somewhere, that somewhere is either you go to HP, you go to Himachal Pradesh, you'll go to Shimla, or you'll go to Mussoorie side. So these are two of the most prominent locations. And the reason why we go there is we like to believe they're untouched. But now when you get to Mall Road in any of these locations, they are like heavily crowded places with a lot of human beings and like a lot of shit pile of horses, right? All along the way. And when we decide to not go to the hills, the next words that come out of everyone's mouth is, let's go to Goa. And Goa is like all the way on the other side of the country, right? How do you think can we transform this into the next words that come out become, let's go to Assam, or let's go to the numerous places that you named? How can we as individuals actually change our perception of these areas? Because if we want untouched, that is what we are going for. And yet we don't go there. We reach Canada before we reach eastern part of India. So why is that so? And how can we change it?
To that point, adding on, is it because of this accessibility or lack of accessibility? As you said, to get to Jorhat or to get to Majuli, you have to take a ferry from Jorhat. How do you get to Jorhat also? You know, that I have no idea. I know Calcutta, Tezpur has just started a flight a few months back. But again, I think the whole, is it the lack of accessibility or the lack of knowledge of accessibility and what's happening in that? Where, how is that changing?
So what has changed? Because the first time I visited Northeast, I saw a mountain was in the year 2015. The sheer amount of infrastructure work which is going on, almost 50,000 crores of investment has been put in the Northeast. The places like a state like Mizoram, it was not connected by railways. A place like Tripura was never connected by railways. Nagaland was not connected by railways. Now these are all connected by railways, so which can enable people who are traveling on a budget to reach. Many ALGs, like which were actually Air Force airports, they are now being used for Dorniers and other smaller aircrafts. So many initiatives, both central and state. I'm not going to credit any one particular government. But now they see that if these places are not being developed, now, our neighboring big brother country is going to grab hold of it. It has a very strategic importance. So plus people are more and more traveling as the economy has opened. People are seeing a lot of potential is there. People, there are definitely affluent people who are traveling, who are going back. So the companies, they are also seeing that there is a lot of activity. They are putting, they are setting up offices because of the subsidies and different policies of the government. And lot of things is happening, whether it be the highways, whether it be the airport, whether it be the railways. So which is ultimately going to help. So just to give you a perspective, Himachal had a very bad monsoon, still ongoing. So what has happened is that a lot of people have cancelled their tickets, their flights, hotels, everything is in jeopardy, unfortunately. So people want to go to some place during the holiday season. Okay, whether it be during this OND, whether it be this during this Navratri and Durga Puja, or somewhere. So which is the place? So now they are opening, coming Vietnam, among the international nation, Vietnam, Thailand, it's everywhere, always there in terms of the costing and all. But Northeast, they are exploring. So a couple of years back in Nagaland, apart from the Hornbill Festival, we didn't had used to see much visitors. But now, smaller players, they are promoting Nagaland, Mizoram, because unknown place. So people are saying, now that it is safe, there is no militancy and all, we can go. If there is any problem, we are going to tweet. Either we are going to tag the CM or we are going to tag the PM. Somebody is going to help us. Plus, accessibility of information is there. There are Instagram and Facebook influencers, plus YouTube influencers, I would like to add, who are visiting these places, capturing the photographs, what to do, what not to do. And this perception of that people from the Northeast, they eat everything apart from humans, that has also changed. Plus, their participation in the different sporting events, movies and all, it has actually cleared a lot. So there actually be a slang which people use, which has been banned by the government. So people, whenever they used to see that you are from the neighboring country, you're not from this, our country. Okay. So now due to awareness, movies had a big role to play. people are more acceptable. And once we see somebody like Marie Kom and some other people winning the Olympics medal and all, you will see that बस ये तो अपने देश से ही है. They speak Hindi, which is one of the majority languages spoken in our country. They are very fashionable. We go gung ho over K-pop and all, but there is a fashion industry in the Northeast. Some of the most fashionable people are from this part of the country. Among the web series, there are many actors and actresses who are like acting powerhouses who are coming from the Northeast. So awareness is increasing. Okay. And social media is actually, our properties are there on social media, albeit in a very small way. But as more and more people are seeing that, you want to go for glamping, come to the Northeast. You want to stay in a valley overlooking the Kanchenjunga, come to this part of the country. You want to see a floating national park, India's only floating national park. Where it is? It is in the Northeast. Where do you find the one horned rhino? It is in the Northeast. So many of the first sunrise in India, it happens in Dong of Arunachal Pradesh. So we saw the movie Bhediya. It was shot in Arunachal Pradesh. Okay. The valley, the last scene, it was Dong. Okay. So Anin is a place where you have 365 days of snow. So many things. We just don't need to go anywhere else. You come here, you will find. You get content for the entire year. To the instigate your friends, देखो मैं यहाँ पे घूम के आया हूँ. तुम सोच भी नहीं सकते मैं कहाँ पे घूम के आया हूँ. So there was a survey by Facebook in 2018 that people by 2023 are going to travel to take photographs and post them on Instagram and Facebook. So that has actually become a reality. Now, so if somebody asks what kind of stays do we have, I said that we have properties which are Instagram friendly. You come, you take a selfie, you create a reel, you come, you create videos. And you can jalaofy your friends and family members. They take my car and come here. Since I'm competing with the biggies, I need to say something unique. I love staying in my properties.
My first experience with the whole, you know how you say movies have affected this a lot? My first experience comes from Chakde, India, in which there are players from Mizoram and Assam. Yeah, I think there are players from the northeast side of India. And the organizer says, oh, आप उस साइड से आए हैं, आप हमारे मेहमान हैं, एंड दे गेट वेरी ऑफेंडेड दैट व्हाई यू कॉलिंग मी मेहमान, आई एम एन इंडियन, राइट? एंड यू डोंट थिंक अबाउट दीज थिंग्स अनलेस यू आर इन देयर शूज टू एक्चुअली फेस देम, एंड व्हेन यू डू रियलाइज दैट ओ दिस माइट एक्चुअली बी हैपनिंग, ओ इवन डू आई ऑल्सो थिंक दैट वे, मे बी आई शुड फिक्स माई थिंकिंग. सो अवेयरनेस प्लेज अ ह्यूज रोल, एंड यू मेकिंग पीपल अवेयर.
आई थिंक अवेयरनेस अलॉन्ग विद एक्सेसिबिलिटी.
या आई थिंक
द एज Jadeep has been saying that we're not even aware because there is no connection. That pop culture connection is slowly coming in. Instagram, actors, movies, they're slowly getting to that point. Like as I was talking about the travel times, like I know from Calcutta, a lot of people have tea estates and tea gardens in Assam. So they always talk about the time it takes to get to the gardens or to get to that place. So very often that can be extremely off-putting. I mean, rock capital of India is at Shillong. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, just I've been, you know, dying to go there for that specific rock festival. I think that in itself is so nice to hear that a place like that attracts all these bands from all over India and I think outside as well, if I'm not mistaken. But it's definitely some place that's on my bucket list.
Jadeep, let's have a deep dive. Now we know these places exist. We know that Jadeep is running this incredible business. What is the incredible business exactly? And how are you providing me with Instagram-friendly experiences? How do I get those experiences?
So our business is covering two aspects. One is we help the properties market and reach out to a wider audience, okay, which albeit is being done by a lot of companies in the market, but they cannot cater to the entire spectrum of the market because the market itself is so big, plus they do not have their foot soldiers in the on the ground. There are certain things you cannot do online, okay? So this is one of them. And we have seen the horrors of unverified properties where people go and they find there's no property which exists. And people have suffered. There are many newspaper reports. You can just Google it. That people have, well, they don't find a property. There have been cases filed against this company, that company. So we help these properties who are small homestays, 2 rooms, 3 rooms, 5 rooms, 6 rooms. Up to 6 rooms is a homestay as categorized by the government of India. So we help them with the SOPs, how to run it in a certain way so that it can cater to the guests, not because guests have certain expectations because they are used to staying in the hotels. Homestay is completely new for them, for a lot of people who have, the first question that these customers ask that, is it hygienic? Is it safe? Will I get a Western toilet over there? Is the food edible? Will I get a, if a person is a vegetarian, will I get vegetarian food? So a lot of things. Sometimes what happens, if you're not training them people, because people are very good, very genuine. But sometimes not the way, if somebody is talking on a very direct basis, the customer might not like it, or maybe they can misunderstand. So that conditioning and that SOP is needed. This is number one. Secondly, there are properties, small family-run properties, who face difficulty in hiring quality manpower. Even if it comes at a very high price. During the season, it is very easy to run the cost. But during the off-season, when the bookings are not, that is difficult. So we are the first company in India which actually helps these small hotels and homestays run operations as well. So we work as their management partner if they agree to it, that they need our expertise, our operational like SOPs and all. And we go for a revenue sharing, which is fair. We do not go for super high commissions where the owner is greedy. Okay, so we believe in peaceful coexistence. If the owner is happy, he will keep me happy as well. So if owner is not earning any money, why will he do business with me or anyone else? He needs to, and similarly, we make the owner understand, if I am not earning, how will I provide my service? I need to pay salaries. I need to take care of the marketing and other things. So it has to be a win-win deal. It cannot be a win-lose deal, whoever it is. So the average, we have been partially successful because we have not been able to reach a wide and wide audience because we are currently in 4 states. There are still a lot of states to be covered since we have a very small team of 9 members, including the 3 of us. So within that, we are doing a lot of things, visiting the properties, getting it verified, setting up the SOPs, doing the occasional audits, taking care of the feedback. So within the 9 of us, we are trying to do it. But if once we are expanding, we are going to scale up, we are going to increase our team. There are going to be challenges which can arise, and we need to plan accordingly to that. Because I was recently speaking with someone. They said that now you are able to micromanage it or monitor it. What once this 118 properties become 1800 properties or 180 properties? I'm sure you and your team are more than capable of doing it. So we need to introduce tech in that. Okay. Currently, very little tech is there. It is more of a manual. But our goal has been very clear to give good amount of business, make these units profitable. Unit level profitability is very important. Okay. Because if a venture is not profitable now, maybe for a year, a person can sustain the losses. But next year, they might not be interested to run it.
I want to get into the nitty-gritty of 1 to 18 properties. So how do you go from 1 property to 18 properties? How do you go from 18 to 1800 properties? What's the math? What's the element? What's your secret sauce?
So my secret sauce is building the relationship. So you cannot consider a property owner as just a number, just to increase your reach. You need to cultivate that relationship. It has to be a fair relationship. We are in a business. It has to be an equal side of a relationship. You are not bigger than me. I am not bigger than you. We are equals in this. If we cooperate with each other, we grow. If we don't cooperate with each other, both of us will die. And if you cannot work with me, you will be not able to work with anyone else. And it has happened. There are properties maybe who had some differences with us. They went for someone else. They thought, or they tried to run it on their own. But once they saw that we are, what difference are we making? The amount that we are charging, we are just not bringing the bookings to them. Anybody can do it. Okay, there is no rocket science in that. But the feedback, the overall help in procurement and all, because small things make a lot of difference. Okay, so if they need any kind of, they have a guest who needs a certain room in a certain place, but they do not have a reach, they are trusting us with that.
Okay.
And we have been fair with them, they have been fair with us. And it has been, so first property was definitely a challenge. Convincing that first property was a challenge. But eventually, once people came to see, because during COVID, a lot of bigger companies, they defaulted on the payments. Even though they had cash reserves, they didn't pay. I can say, like on in front of the media, there was a time I didn't have money because we had to give the refunds. We had some debt and all. We had to sell off things. We had to sell, get rid of some assets.
Okay.
So that we can pay back the people. Okay. Or we took time from them. That give me time, I'm going to clear this. Because you will appreciate the fact that if you are doing business, the money which comes to you, you put it, invest that in the business. And suddenly if you have to refund the entire money back to the original person, you have to plow in some extra money, which becomes a challenge. So it was a challenge for us. And once people said that a micro company like us is good with their payments.
Okay.
We are trying our best. We are fighting for survival.
Okay.
So they referred us to the second property and the thing kept going. So all these 18 properties, some of them have reached out to us, caring about us, that they are doing good.
Okay.
They have been fair with the payments. COVID, during COVID also they paid.
Okay.
And we have built some amount of reputation. I'll not say everything is good about us, but we have built some amount of reputation and that we are approachable.
Okay.
Also in the Northeast, if the people, they see that you're operating near to them, that trustability rises because they know that I cannot fight with a company which is based out of Gurgaon. I cannot fight with a very big company. They will have a battery of lawyers. But I can always try to convince, or I can fight with a smaller company. So that has been one of the secret sources. And we make it a point to meet every property owner that we onboard personally, me or my partner Rahul. We make it a point so that they can also see who are the people behind. And till now, it has been positive. The people who are maybe the properties which are no longer with us, we still maintain relationship with them. That is the best part. If they need something, they get back to us.
Eventually, when you start scaling up, it gets very difficult to be in touch with each person.
Yes, it will become difficult. But what we believe is that if you are very clear in your approach, if you can percolate this to your team members, because end of the day we cannot be present everywhere, but if this is there with the team, that these are the things one needs to follow, there are no shortcuts. I didn't see a reason that we cannot emulate this 18 properties to 1800 properties. It will be tough. I'm very sure, and I completely agree with you, your point, Akhil. But definitely, that is going to be a challenge for us, and we are going to make it happen, no matter what.
I'm going to complete my point. Eventually, when you go from 18 to 1800 properties, it becomes very difficult to get in touch with each and every individual whose property you're going to be handling. So what Vishwa and I hope is, since your genuinity is coming out so well to us, that if people are able to view this podcast and view your personal point of view on this, even if they don't connect with you personally, they are able to connect with you on a more spiritual level watching this episode of ours.
I can just hope for it that the message reaches to potential homestay owners and hotel owners.
Okay.
And the market pie is very big. Just to give you an estimate, I was telling this to one of the investment calls I was doing the other day. So somebody was asking, what is the size of the market? I said, sir, the 8 northeastern states, plus West Bengal, plus Bihar, plus Jharkhand, plus Orissa. What do you think? What should be the population of all these states? There was no clear answer. So I said, sir, based on my estimates, as per the last census and the thing, between 60 to 70 crore people reside in these states.
No way. I don't.
Yes.
Wow.
So West Bengal's population is 10 crores. Bihar's population is 16 crores. Assam is again 16 crores. So 16, 16, 32, 32, and 10 is 42. Sikkim has a population of 15, that's 15. Jharkhand again is in the 6 or 8 crores. Orissa is somewhere around 8, 9 crores.
Okay.
So you add to it. I'm not very good in maths, but this much it looks to me. Plus, if I am including the neighboring countries also, why not include them? So Bangladesh has a population of 18 crores. Nepal has a population of 6 crores. Bhutan is almost 1.5 crores. So you see the market. The variety is huge. And it has been again and again says an underdeveloped place or upcoming place will have a very high good trajectory. The effect that we are seeing in India and some of the other countries. Because new infrastructure is being built, new wealth is being created, people are coming and exploring new things. So, it's a big market.
Jaideep, since you have spoken about investors, and I want to do a little exercise with you.
Sure.
Say tomorrow, an investor comes to you and says, Jaideep, I want to put 2 million into you.
Wow.
Which is about 15 crores.
Okay.
What is your utilization of that 15 crores? How does that translate into on-ground value for you?
So, if tomorrow, like Sandy and today, if somebody comes to me and says 15 crores, I will have to say then, sir, I currently don't need 15 crores because my scale is very small right now. I will be either blowing it up on marketing, okay, which is not going to bring the desired results, or I will be trying to onboard as many properties as I can, okay, which might not give the desired results.
Okay.
So I'll tell him that, sir, you keep the 15 crores. Okay. You can keep that in an escrow account. You give me 1.5 crores or 2 crores, which I need for developing on my website or building a little bit, getting more professionals in that team.
Okay.
Expanding to new locations. And you see how much am I scaling, able to scale it. If you see that I'm giving that desired result, I'll ask you for the next tranche. Because I've seen from very close quarter, okay, money gives you a high. It is like a drug. But if not spent properly, it can screw you badly. We are seeing a lot of examples. So take a little bit more than what you need. If I say I need 1.5 crore, maybe I can say 2 crore, keeping a buffer of 50 lakhs, which can take care of any unforeseen circumstances. But 1.5 crore ke jagah 15 crore, I will be spoiled for choice. Dekhenge na jab account mein itne paise hai, arey ye kar lo, wo kar lo. Frugality aur wo discipline chala jayega. Mera bhi kaam mera Android phone se ho jata hai. Theek hai. मेरे को लगेगा मेरे को देखो दिल में तो इच्छा है आई शुड बी यूजिंग एन एप्पल ठीक है बट आई वुड वांट टू यूज एन एप्पल द डे आई एम एबल टू बिल्ड अ बिग कंपनी आई एम एबल टू गेट अ गुड सैलरी आई एम एबल टू गेट पे बैक माई डेट ठीक है सो दैट ऐसा ना हो मैं एक तरह मेरा मार्केट में बहुत डेट है मैं सब वेंडर्स को पैसे नहीं दे रहा हूँ मैं यहाँ पे ये कर रहा हूँ
वेरी वेरी कॉन्ट्रोवर्शियल ओपिनियन जयदीप बट आपका एंड्रॉयड फोन में एप्पल से ज्यादा फंक्शनैलिटी है तो एप्पल से सिर्फ स्टेटस सिंबल मिलने वाला है
So investors, Jaideep is going to buy an iPhone as soon as you give him money.
No, not money. The day I start taking a salary.
Okay.
And I'm able to clear some of the commitments and maybe the debts I have.
Okay.
Jaideep, we are just pulling your leg. We understood your business plan, and I think it's such a commendable thing.
My two other co-founders, they have iPhone. Okay. On a good note, they have been using iPhone much before they started this company. Okay. So I am currently the black sheep, but eventually I too will join someday.
Jaideep, let's have a deep dive. Let's have a deep dive into your costs, your team. If you onboard a client, if you onboard, let's say, a property, what do you expect to make from the property? What kind of commissions do you get? How do you make money? And how do you get to the net income? What all is cut from that money?
So the thing is, if I'm going on a marketing model where the property says that I do not need your operational expertise, I just need the bookings from you. You are going to handle my online and offline channels. You're going to help me with the travel agents that you're working with at the corporate bookings that you have. So we charge between 22 to 25% on the bookings that we provide plus GST to the property owner. And the price is mutually decided. It is not that I tell that you should do at this price, which actually is a problem. Sometimes the hotels, they check in, deny the customer because they say the price is too low. I have not given the price. So what happens is that we mutually decide a price, and we also have an agreement that we are going to maintain this price parity. You're not going to sell below this rate, above this rate, and vice versa. And we charge a commission on that. That is the marketing model. As far as the management is concerned, we manage the entire end-to-end thing. After deducting all the expenses, salaries, utility costs, everything. Whatever profit is there, we take up percentage of that. Okay. It's around 50-50 or 60-40 between the both of us, the higher share being for the owner because it is his property. Okay. And we take up share of the profits. So if it is a zero profit now, no profit, no loss, we don't take our share. But the property is able to meet its cost. It is able to stand on its own feet. So many companies actually don't assure that. And being a business person, I can understand that no, I will never like to have a situation where I have to pay money from my pocket. Okay. Or I have a zero income because my entire month's effort goes my staff, my colleagues, my time, everything goes. Okay. So if I'm not earning anything and that is not able to cover the salaries of my staff, so it doesn't make any sense. After a quarter, I might lose interest if I'm not seeing the money. So talking about the team, me, Chiranjeev, Rahul, we three of us, apart from that, we have a person for accounts. We have a person for online. We have one person for operations. In fact, two persons for operations. And we have got some telecallers. We also do handle a lot of customer calls.
Okay.
The customers who call for the thing. So I have personally attended to a lot of calls. Rahul also attended to a lot of calls. Chiranjeev, being a pure finance guy, he's not much into the operations. He has not attended, but me and Rahul, we have got the experience of attending to 150 calls in a day. We have done it.
So Jaideep, we are at the closing stages of the podcast. We would love to know, how do we reach you? How do we reach your company? And me sitting in Haryana, how do I find a property there to rent out?
So my co-founder Chiranjeev is based out of Gurugram, fortunately. And we have, one thing is that currently we are present in all these places which are seasonal in nature. So there are some cities we are going to add, business cities. Noida and Gurugram is going to be a part of that, I'm happy to say. Okay, so there you will be able to find us. And plus, after this, we're conquering the Northeast, covering all the places. We are going to be there in the Himalayan range of Northern India. Okay. Because there is a lot of homestays which are there, which are not being managed. People are coming from the cities. They're taking a property on lease, but they are unable to run it in a professional way or a proper way.
Okay.
So we have already received some feelers from property owners over there who are asking us to come there because they have got some reference from here.
So
we will be there. If you have to reach me by company, it is www.crooms.com. We are there on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube also. I can be reached over LinkedIn or Instagram. My email ID is there on Google.
Okay.
It is part of the MCA listing.
Okay.
Plus, it is there on Facebook and all.
We leave everything in the description below. So please do reach out to Jaydeep and his company, and please do enjoy the northeastern side of India, because it's been overlooked, and let's not overlook it anymore.
Yes, and also to add, a lot of companies are trying to promote the northeast. A lot of Ministry of Tourism is playing a very major role. There is a Prashad scheme, which is initiated by the government of India. Like almost 1600 crores of money is being invested in developing tourist circuits in the northeast.
Okay.
So these are on the verge of completion.
Okay.
So these will be very world-class facilities, and you are going to see that we are in 2023 by 2025, 2026.
Okay.
There are going to be a sea change in the transportation and connectivity in the northeast. So just to give you a perspective, from Siliguri to Sikkim, if you have to go, you have to go by the road. There's one airport in Sikkim, Pakyong, but during monsoon, it gets shut down because of the bad weather and all. So the railway link is almost complete. It is going to connect Sewok to Rongpo in Sikkim. And it is going to cut down the travel from 4 hours, I believe, to 2.5 hours. So this will be the first ever railway link to Sikkim. And it is getting completed in 2025, I believe so. Or in 2024. Because everything is completed now. The tracks are going to be laid and we are going to see. So every nook and corner is going to be connected by the railways. Plus the new airports are coming up. Their capacity, new flights are coming up. And if you see Air India, Indigo, Akasa, they're all connecting northeast because government of India gives a subsidy if you are having a flight connecting northeast to any of the major metros. So you get cheaper ATF and there are a lot of benefits you get. In fact, the first flight which Indigo flew in the year 2006, that was Guwahati-Delhi.
So, Jaydeep, one thing which I completely forgot about almost was, how has the current political scheme in the northeast affected you all, if at all?
Apart from Manipur, every other place, Manipur unfortunately faced a lot of civil and political turmoil.
Okay.
It is still not out of the woods. It will take some time, but eventually it will come out. But apart from that, other places, we are seeing a lot of growth. The bigger players like Taj, ITC and all, they are putting in a lot of investments over here.
Okay.
In the premium sector.
Okay,
with it be Radisson and all. So as we can see that as the bigger companies and the bigger chains they invest, that is going to have a multiplier effect, because once you have more of events, more of visitors, the next level of tourists are going to come.
Okay,
because it is going to create an ecosystem, which is actually going to support the market for the next 10, 15 years. And as the connectivity is growing, the ticket prices and everything remains competitive.
Okay.
So we are going to see a lot of action. And politically, it is more or less stabilized because the government's majority of the funds, they come from the central government, whoever is in power. So there's a separate ministry, you might be aware of it, donor. So Department of Northeastern Region. So it gets a separate funding from the union budget every year. So every project that you see in the Northeast, almost 10 or 20% is paid by the state governments and rest 80 or 100% is paid by the central government. So all these projects are fully funded. So there is no gap. There's no viability gap, whether it be the railways. So BRO is doing a fantastic job in building the highways and all. So we are going to have all with the roads.
Okay.
Like Arunachal, I visited in 2018. The roads were being built. So people I know, who have gone there by their own vehicle. Roads have changed a lot. Assam roads are fantastic. every place is roads are being developed, and the new Bharatmala project and all, it is having a good effect, because new carriageways and all, then the freight corridor and everything. So lot of things, but these projects were in works for a long time. Now slowly they are getting completed. You can say because of the forthcoming elections and all, but everything has been speeded up. So just to give you perspective, in the month of April, I drove from Kolkata to Sikkim. I keep on driving. I love driving. I'm a petrol man. So the road condition I had seen in 2021 when I went last by car, now it is a sea change. See, it had taken me 15 hours last time. Now it is down to 12 hours. So there are roads where I was facing difficulty because there were detours and all. So now you can easily cruise. The overbridges have been completed. So there was a big bottleneck in Talkhola. You might be aware of this thing. Where there used to be a railway crossing. We used to stand there for 1 hour, 2 hours, wasting our time. So now a flyover has been constructed. New bypass has been constructed. There's a Faraka barrage, which used to see a lot of jam. A new bridge is coming up next to it. It is being built by L&T. All these projects are going, and I hope, like, when you and Akhil decide to cover the Northeast and stay at one of our properties, you will see how much the infrastructure is changing for better, and it is going to benefit not our generation but the generations after as well.
I think Vishwas will make there faster. I am still in Toronto, so maybe when I come to India next time, you can give us like a nice stay sometime.
Sure.
Dude, Jaideep, one achievement has been unlocked. Akhil has agreed to travel. We have had this conversation on this podcast, off the podcast, too many times. Getting Akhil to get out of his house is a pain.
We just hosted Trudeau a couple of days back.
Oh, wow.
No, not in our properties. We are not that big.
India hosted Trudeau. Jaideep, what is your average room rate? Just if I had to give an average figure, what would an average room rate be for a night?
The room rates, initially they were low, but currently if I'm talking about the ARR, it is between 1600 to 1800 per night. Okay. It is on a blended basis. So now we have properties starting at 1000 rupees going up to 5000. Okay. In different categories. And since we are talking about homestays, a lot of these homestays, it comes on an all meals plan because we don't have restaurants over there. So the host has to prepare the food in advance because it is prepared in a limited quantity. So we give the option to the guests that if they would like to have the food there. So they said fine. And once they have the food, they fall in love with the place. Freshly cooked with the local vegetables, organic food. Vegetarian guests are also happy. Non-vegetarian guests are also happy.
So, Jaideep, we have a tradition on our podcast. And the last guest has left a question for you. And we would ask you to leave a question for the next founder.
Okay.
So, the question I have for you is, what did it take mentally? What mindset do you have to keep going as a founder despite all the shortcomings you've had to face?
So, if you're a founder, you need to have you need to have the attitude of a cockroach. So people might try to smash you. People might try to nuke you. But you get away from all of this and you will do what you want to do. And you multiply pretty fast. So there's a temple cockroach startups who can survive a nuke. So ours is a cockroach startup. We are way, way, way away from being a unicorn or any other corn startup. But we are a cockroach startup. We know how to survive. And also the entrepreneur, the founder, needs to have balls of steel. So agar Hindi mein iska anuvad kare to lohe ke andakosh ki zarurat padegi.